I'm going to open up with prayer. Is that okay? Because I need prayer. And I'll tell you why after I pray. Jesus, we thank you for this evening. We thank you, Lord, that you are amazing. You are the constant, that no matter if we're in the valley or in the mountaintop, that you are still the same God, and you are amazing. And that we walk away tonight with the greater revelation of not only who you are, but the promises that you've given us. That we're not Christians who don't know our God, but that we are Christians who know our God. We know his promises, we know his word, we know his presence, and we know his purpose for our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to be completely honest. This isn't even in my notes, but it's, I don't know why, I'm just be completely honest. I've been, battling, a headache all day. And I don't, it's just, whatever, but I don't, at some point today, I just started getting, anxiety. And I don't know why. Maybe because, actually, there's a lot of reasons why. But for some reason, the enemy always likes to, the enemy will always attack you where he's attacked you before or where you've fallen into his traps before. Does that make sense? And growing up, people that I looked up to or people that I looked for either value or approval, not always gave me that when I was growing up. And I had this revelation last weekend. I was thinking about my siblings and how I was talking to someone and we're talking about siblings and how when they're young they can be super annoying. And you're just trying to be in your room, doing your own thing, and they're knocking on your door. I had three siblings, and they remember me kicking out of the room, right, all the time. They still hold it against me. It's okay. We'll pray for them. And but I'd be I'd be playing Xbox and Call of Duty, and then my little brother Tito would be like, "I want to play." He's like, "No, you're too young. It's for 17. You see?" He's like, "But Dad lets me play," and all this stuff like that. It was just, anyways. So I had this. I had this, not revelation, because it feels so silly, but God does not get annoyed of us. And I don't know if that means anything to anybody, but that meant a lot to me, because growing up, I had been told that I was annoying, or that I was too much, overbearing. One time, someone told me that I was harassing them, and that really hurt my feelings, and so it's something that's always stuck with me, that I'm not good enough for. I don't hold that value for myself. Does that make sense? And it was always something that I had struggled with, and so I would always try to compensate for my emotions and how I felt with my performance. I try to be the best at everything I do because I felt like I had to prove something to everyone that I looked up to. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so last weekend I just had this revelation, God does not get annoyed with me. He does not, I can talk to him all day, I can bug him all day, I can pray all day, I can sing to him all day, I can ask him for things all day long, and he does not get annoyed of us.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but that was a revelation for me. That was just oh my gosh, God, I don't annoy God. I don't frustrate God. That's so awesome, because he's my father, and in the past, father figures have made me feel like I annoy them. Or that I was too much. Total side note, but my point is that so this day I've been dealing with that, and no one knew that. I don't think anybody knew that. Yeah, no one knew that. I'm sharing it for the first time today, right now, because someone asked me why. Because I'm not going to identify with that. I'm not going to we forget God's promises and the things He's done for us, and when things like that come into your life. Even though you've already dealt with it, when it comes back, you identify with it. You say, "I am depressed. I am sad," and you identify with something. And no one here enjoys being depressed. No one here enjoys being sad. The very fact that you acknowledge, "I'm sad and I don't want to be sad," that's proof that it's not you. Because if it was you, you'd be totally okay. That'd be totally natural. But the fact that you don't enjoy being depressed or sad or anxious, in my case, I'm not going to be "Oh man, Georgia, can you pray for me? I'm anxious." Or, "Josh, can you pray for me? I'm anxious. Daniel, can you pray for me?" I'm starting to identify with something that shouldn't be in me. Does that make sense? Instead of running to the source of life, instead of running to the source of my peace and my joy, I start to almost validate this is what I'm going through because I'm telling everybody else instead of me saying, no, this is not me. Even though I feel this way, the whole time we were worshiping, I had that anxiety, but that's not going to stop me from worshiping. That's not going to stop me from praising him. That's not going to stop me from pushing through. And some days it might be a battle that way. Like I said, I was dealing with this all day, and I was just driving my car, and I was saying, Lord, I don't feel you, and that sucks. But I know you're with me, and I just don't trust you. I'm just trust that you're in control. And out of nowhere, the song just comes into my heart. I'm trying to remember what it is. Oh, how's it go? I think actually a lot of people sing it. But it talks about how worthy Jesus is. And you guys know the song. It's day and night, night and day, let incense arise. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. Right? You guys heard that song? Anybody? I don't know why, but that song just came out of my heart. And so I'm driving, I start singing it, and the presence of God just fills the room. Yes. Then I get to church, life happens, and then the anxiety comes back. But I'm not gonna let that have a hold in my life. Because even though I might feel anxious, I still have a choice whether I can be joyful or not. I still have a choice whether I can be sweet or not. I still have a choice whether I can worship or not. Or just be up there to play music. Like, I'm there. I'm up there the same reason you're here, to encounter God and worship the King of Kings. Amen. Amen? Amen? I'm just sharing my life with you. Is that okay? So tonight, if you're taking notes, just write this down. Write down, Jesus is handy. Jesus is handy. If you guys were here the last time I spoke, I talked a lot about John the Baptist. The more I think about John the Baptist and I meditate on like what he was doing, like the crazier it gets. Everyone say crazy. Crazy. And like here's what trips me out. This guy, he's dressed in camel's hair, he eats locusts and honey, and he lives in. Can you take those exclamation marks away? I'm not feeling this. I'm not Pastor Drew. He puts exclamation marks after everything. Literally. I'm not there yet. I'm just not that, you know, wise yet, too. Thank you. So John the Baptist, his one mission is to make a way for who?
Jesus.
For who?
Jesus.
For Jesus. It was prophesied in the Old Testament that he would make the way for the Lord. And so we talked about that, how like his whole life is just dedicated to making a way for everyone to see Jesus. Because when Jesus came on the scene, he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Someone say amen.
Amen.
What tripped me, I was reading, I was like, oh my gosh, like he lived in the wilderness, like outside of the city, outside of, you know, like civilization. Like outside of there's no restrooms in, I guess the entire wilderness is a restroom. Not the point. But people would go out to the wilderness to find him. And I was just like, that's crazy, right? Like you're comfortable in your job or your school or whatever it is. And something compelled a lot of people. A lot of John's disciples became Jesus' disciples. That's pretty cool. But something compelled people in the cities or in the villages to come out to the wilderness to go to John. I think that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I think that's the same reason that many of us are here tonight. I think people just started realizing my life is, there's something more to my life and I'm not going to find it here. I'm going to go outside of my comfort zone. I'm going to go outside of what's normal to me and see what's happening over here. That's why you guys are in church, because, you know, school or family or, I mean, I'm not saying those things are bad, I'm just saying they don't satisfy like worshiping Jesus satisfies, amen?
Amen.
So they go out and they go find John, and it's like, okay, well, they leave, you know, their civilization, and they go to the wilderness and encounter John, and John only has one message. We'll look at it. Thank you. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent. Ooh. Give me some wide eyes. Oh, that's scary. Don't do that. Everyone say repent.
Repent.
Repent for the kingdom. Wow. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight." John the Baptist prepared the way for the Lord through repentance. I think a lot of Christians don't repent enough. We if we're walking around sad or depressed, maybe it's just because you're not right with the Lord. John the Baptist, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." When something is at hand, it means it's, okay, it went away. It means it's handy. Everyone say handy.
Handy.
Like no one says, "Oh yeah, like my tool's in my room and I need it right now. Yeah, it's over there." Like, yep, that was really handy. No, if you had it with you and you were able to use it, like I have tools in my car. They come in.
Handy.
Right? Your phone has a flashlight. That comes in. So when John the Baptist says the kingdom of heaven is at hand, it means it's within like your reach. You can touch it. And the way you touch the kingdom of heaven is this: you repent.
Amen.
Some of us, here's another story. Because I can really only preach out of what I live, to be honest. Like I have to. If I don't live this out, then I've got nothing for you. My desire is to be a walking testimony. I don't want people to see me. I want people to see Jesus in me. Amen?
Amen.
We just read it in Acts. Like the in chapter 3, we saw the Sanhedrin and the elders. They want to imprison Peter and John because they're preaching and they're healing a bunch of people and they're freaking out. And here's what the Bible says about the Sanhedrin. The elders that were persecuting Peter and John, they said, "Wow, we can tell that they're untrained and they're uneducated. But here's what we do know. They've been with Jesus."
Yeah.
Even though these guys had never met Jesus, they saw these like, "Wow, these guys, they knew Jesus." I want people to say that about me.
Yeah.
Amen? I love that chapter too, because in that chapter, or another one before, it says like they were doing miracles and everyone was in awe and in wonder. Man, that is the standard that I want to live up to. When Jesus said that you'll do the same things I do and greater, I want to be able to glorify Jesus so people can be in awe and in wonder. I think that's how to fall in love with Jesus. It's biblical. We'll talk about it later. I have no idea where I was. Yes. So the kingdom of God, I have a story. So last week, So Pastor Emma had read this book, and I started reading this book. It's all about communion. It's really cool because it just shows you biblically, like, you know, what does it really mean to do communion? And at the end of today, very soon, I'm going to invite you guys. I'm not going to make anybody do it, but I think if we just do communion together, that'll be really awesome. But I just want to give you an example in my life. I don't know if it was last Thursday or Friday, but I knew there are some things that the Lord had wanted me to do, and I didn't do it. I'm not perfect. I still give my mess to God too, just like everybody else. All right, I'm not perfect. I'm still, you know, working out my salvation with fear and troubling. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So if you're looking for perfection, I'm not it. I promise you, I'm not. So it's like a Thursday, and I'm you guys know what I'm talking about. Like, you know, you've messed up, and you feel it.
Yeah.
You carry it. That keeps you from the presence of God.
Yeah.
Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John Patrick is saying, "Hey guys, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is here, and you won't be able to enter this kingdom without repenting." And listen, because Jesus' first message was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He says the exact same thing when Jesus starts preaching. That is amazing. Jesus wasn't talking about repenting so you can go to heaven. He said, "Repenting so you can encounter the kingdom of heaven." Sorry, I'm getting excited. The kingdom of heaven. Encounter it now. Wow, that was. I should, because I messed that up so bad. Jesus didn't ask us to repent so we can just go to heaven. He did it so that we can encounter the kingdom of God now. We're meant to be carriers of the kingdom of God, but if we have unrepentant hearts, we're pushing God away. So it's like a Thursday night, and I'm tired, and I'm trying to go to bed. And I had this thought, and it's so funny, because many times I think I have a thought, and I'm like, "Oh, that's just me. It's just me." So I had this thought, take communion. I was like, nah. I'm already in bed. I'm like, you know, dressed for bed, and I'm just laying there, and it's like 11 something at night, and I know we have like communion cups upstairs. I'm like, no, I just want to go to sleep. And then it's just this thought in my head. I was like, I'm trying to convince myself that it's me and it's not God. But finally, for peace of mind, because I get anxiety over these things, I go upstairs, I grab a communion cup, and I go downstairs, go to my bed, get the bread. I'm like, Lord, I thank you for your body that was broken for me. And I feel good right now, but I thank you that you're going to keep me healthy. In the name of Jesus, amen. I ate the bread. I got the little juice. Is it grape juice? Yeah, I don't like grape juice. Get a little grape juice, open a little sleeve. And I was like, Lord, I repent. You're so good to me all day long, every day. And I've sinned against you. And so I repent, Lord. And I thank you for your blood that was shed for the remission of my sins. I thank you, Lord, that even though I messed up, I'm not going to remind you of something that you forgot. I thank you that you forget what I did, and I'm a brand new, clean person right now because of your sacrifice. In the name of Jesus. While I was doing that, guys, I just started bawling. I started crying. The kingdom of heaven just... Not because I was praying for an hour, not because I was praying in tongues for an hour, not because I was, you know, reading my Bible for... No, I just repented, and God just filled me. And I think a lot of us need that. Here, check this out. I'm going to try to wrap up in like 8 minutes. We can do it together. Matthew 4:17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn to your neighbor and say, handy. Acts 3:19, Peter says this, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of what? Refreshing. Times of what? Refreshing. May come from, wow. Oh my gosh. I'm going to read it like 3 times. So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Not from drugs, not from relationships, not from getting good grades, not from making a bunch of money, not from having a new car or a new iPhone or not. Man, I feel strongly that some of us just need some refreshing tonight.
Amen.
And it comes from this. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Check this out, Romans 2:4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? When I got saved, I didn't think anything was wrong with my life. I really didn't. I thought I had a great life. But I had one encounter with God, and I was like, oh, man. God is good, and that's all I want. I had such a hunger and desire for him. Guys, if you guys feel like you have nothing to repent for, just think about it. Like, think of how good he's been, even when we haven't been good to him.
Yeah.
This whole idea of communion has been coming up over. I don't know if you guys know Dan Moeller, but he's like, I just remember like this today. I was thinking about it. Yeah, I know. We have some fans. Cool. I love Dan Moeller. He's talking about how he's like, yeah, just do communion every day. He's like, I'll be eating my Cheerios. I'll get one Cheerio. Be like, thank you for your body that was broken. He'll eat a little Cheerio. And he'll take, you know, a spoon of milk. He's like, Lord, I thank you. It's not, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And then Paul said this. He said, as many times as you do it. Like, not like only once a month or, you know, whenever you feel like it. No, as many, like, you can do communion as many times as you want. Oh, it's so amazing. In Matthew, when Jesus is getting ready to have, like, that Last Supper, which is where he instituted communion, where he said, hey, do this in remembrance of me. Jesus said this. He's like, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, I've been looking forward to this for so long. I'm so excited to show you this. Because communion reminds us of his promise and what he did on the cross. And so even when we're feeling down, we're feeling depressed, we say, Lord, I know what my situation looks like. I know how I feel, but you cleanse me from all unrighteousness, and I'm going to identify with that more than I identify with how I feel. And just trust in God that he'll change you. His blood, the Bible says it speaks a better word. And it's his blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I think a lot of us just carry too much guilt. I was meditating on this earlier, and, you know, take it for what it is, but I feel like God wants to heal us of our scars. Because even though we say we're over it, we still look at the scar and we still remember. We have a scar right here. I was in the box. Our storage unit, if you don't know what that is. We have a storage unit. I was climbing. Some metal thing cut me. I was like, oh, that's cool. And then I kept working. But I feel like God says, I want you to stop identifying with your scars. Because your scars point to your past. But Jesus' scars point to your future, guys. Amen. Yeah. It points to your destiny and your purpose. Listen, he died for you so you can live in him. That is like basic Christianity. He died for you, and so now you got to live for him. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
My anxiety is gone. I'm happy. Matthew 26, verses 27 through 28. This is after he broke the bread. Jesus says this. He says, then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, which is the disciples saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Everyone say, I am many.
I am many.
Maybe I'm part of the many. Maybe that's better. We're not legion. I'm sorry. Sorry, Lord. Yeah. Which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Can we get clean tonight? Man, if you've been having trouble, you know, getting into the presence of the Lord or just feeling like, you know, just feeling loved by him, it could be that there's some things you did or some things you're doing, and God's just saying, hey, I need a repentant heart before I can come in. Does that make sense? Here's the amazing thing, too. It's the amazing thing is that he helps us to repent. Like, it's Jesus said this, you can do nothing without me. It's so awesome that, because here's the thing, we can't clean ourselves. Like, we can't. But Jesus can. And he did it. So we're going to get into the mood right now. So we're going to bring, thank you, Pastor Tamara. We're going to bring down the lights. And Jordy's going to come up and he's going to spread out the communion. Before you come up, not everyone has to participate. You know, we're all in different places and, you know, I'm not going to say, okay, every single person come. No, I'm not. Earlier, I told Daniel, I was like, hey, can you help me set up communion? He's like, oh, I knew you were going to make us do communion. I was like, I'm not making anybody do anything. Calm down. It was funny. So, sorry, that was a lot funnier for me than it was for you guys. But I just want us to get clean tonight because I think many of us are tired of walking dirty or tired of carrying, whether it's guilt or shame or condemnation, whatever it is. I just want everyone to just bow your heads and close your eyes, and we're just gonna take a few moments and just right where you are, just ask the Lord, just say, God, there's areas where I need to repent, and if I know them, then great, but if you don't know them, just ask the Lord to reveal it to you. The amazing thing is that when the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness, when God the Father sees us, he sees Jesus. Perfect.
which means he speaks the same things over us. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, because we live in Christ. And maybe for you, it's your revelation might not be, oh my gosh, I don't annoy God. It makes me love him more. That might not be your revelation, but he's been good to us. He's been good to all of us. The very fact that we're in this place is a testament that he has been good to us. So if you want to participate in communion tonight with me, just grab it. Go ahead and come up and just grab one. There are two cups. The bread's on the bottom, so don't just grab one cup, grab both. And then just come to the altar and just stand and wait. Por favor. Jesus. If you're serving too, you guys can come up too. We won't need the computer. I'm believing that when we take communion, that if you're hurting, that hurt's going to leave your body. If you're sad, that sadness is going to leave your body and God's going to replace it with joy. If you're depressed, God's going to give you peace. If you're anxious, God's going to give you rest. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Jesus was so excited to do this with his disciples. And I believe he gets excited every single time we do it. Because we're glorifying him and we're honoring him and we're remembering what he did. Everyone got one? Jesus. All right, we'll wait a few more seconds. Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Before we take communion, I want to just corporately together, but you as an individual, we're gonna repent. So say, Father in heaven, I repent. I turn away from those thoughts and those actions. Forgive me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. So now take the bread, lift up the bread. And say, Jesus, I thank you for your body that was broken, that was whipped, that was marred, that was disfigured, so that I may have life, so that I may have healing, so that I may have wholeness. I thank you that if my body is hurting, or if it ever hurts, I know that by your stripes, I am healed. Now take the bread. Jesus. I believe you guys are encountering God right now. You guys ready?
Yeah.
So take the cup and say, Jesus, I thank you for your blood. The blood that was poured out because of my sins, because of my wrongdoings, because of my actions. When I was still a sinner, you still loved me so much that you gave your life for me. So I thank you for your blood that is better than my sin, greater than my thoughts, more powerful than my feelings. I thank you it was shed for my sins, and that through your blood I am cleansed and I'm righteous, and I won't remember what I did or how I felt. I'm just going to remember what you did for me.
In the name of Jesus, I'll take it. Amen?
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 Yeah.
Come on, just give him some praise. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. All right, make your way back to your seats. We're going to end in a moment. Keep the... Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hey, shh. Hey, just raise your hand if you feel a difference in you. Amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. I want to encourage you guys to do this all the time. You don't even need cups and grape juice. You can do it with, you know, cranberry juice or, you know, Cheerios. It's not about the action, but it's about the remembrance, guys. Jesus loves it when we remember what he did. Because when we remember what he did, it aligns our thoughts and our emotions with where he wants us to be. Because of what he did, I can be righteous right now. Because of what he did, I can meditate on that which is good. Because of what he did, I can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. Was this cool? I think it was pretty cool. I think this is the first. I don't think we've ever done communion. I've been here for 9 years. Let's just pray, amen. Let's just pray, amen. Jesus, we thank you for just you being in the midst of us, God. You are so amazing, Lord, and I thank you that as we do communion, that we, just like John the Baptist, that you increase and we decrease, Lord. We already have all of you, so help us to get out of the way so that you can shine through us, Lord. That we may be that light set on a hill, God. That we may just have a greater understanding of your calling and your purpose for our lives, Jesus. That we don't walk in condemnation. We don't walk in fear, but we walk in a security that Jesus lives in me. And if he lives in me, then it doesn't matter what I'm going through. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what my situation is, but greater is he who lives in me than he who is in the world. Guys, God is greater. I don't know what you're going through, but he's greater. And his blood is greater. And his body is greater. I'm going to choose Jesus over my anxiety every single day. Oh, man. Here's what I feel God saying. Just, if you feel sad or you feel anxious or you feel depressed, don't give in to it so easily. Don't give yourself over to it. Don't identify yourself. Fight it. Fight it. Yeah, but I'm weak. Yeah, but in your weakness, I'm strong. And if we never admit that we're weak and that we can't, he can never show himself strong in us. This is how I fight my battles. Oh, one more thing. So the psalm, you guys can open your eyes. Sorry, I had my eyes closed. In that psalm, the song we were singing is based off of is, you know, the first part is, you prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. In the presence of my enemies. It's like Jesus saying, like, hey, come hang out with me. Come eat. I know you're surrounded by your enemies. I know you're surrounded by doubt. I know what you're surrounded by. I know. But in the midst of whatever you're going through, let's sit down. Let's remember what I've done for you. He prepared that table for us, and we're so busy trying to fight off the enemy that we forget to just sit down, rest in him, and just... And I think it's Revelation. He said, I want to go into your home and dine with you. The word he uses is sup, like supper. I want to go in and sup with you. And we forget that. That in, we get so caught up in our situations, we should, I just got to stop and just sup with the Lord. You should write that down. Sup with the Lord in the midst of your enemies. Amen. So Jesus, we thank you for this night. And we walk out clean, cleansed, and ready to know you more, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.